Welcome to episode 206 of the Collector's Quest podcast. This is So You Want to Collect Halloween, number 5, Current Generation Horror Games. Welcome back to the channel, everybody. It's your boy, Johnny Jamint. No. That's not how I start the show. How do we start the show? Folks! No, I think that's Magic the Gathering stuff. Many video game collectors ask the question. No, that's not it. I need a video game intro for this. I don't even know how to start the podcast anymore. Video games. I got it. Hello, you absolute legends. Did I get it? Is that it? Did we do a video game opening? I'm talking to no one. It's weird because I don't remember how to start this show. And this show being, hey, everybody, welcome to the Collector's Quest podcast. I'm Johnny, your host, here with no one. No one is here. Stefan is not here. Tyler is not here. Stefan is away and Tyler is recovering from COVID. And I am alone and a Halloween episode must be posted. So I'm doing it by myself. I'll do it live. Do it by myself. That's fine. We'll see how this goes. You know what? I can promise it's going to be the shortest episode we've had in a long time. Anyways, I can't do like 10 minutes of banter with someone about something that doesn't matter. Hey, I was in Portland. I got to see a few of you, and that was awesome. Tyler and I will talk more about Portland when we're together because it was a collective experience. So I saw a bunch of people, though. It was a good time. Anyone who got to see me, hey, thank you for coming up. Anybody who I didn't get to see who was there, I don't know why you were shy. Anyways, good time was had by all, except Tyler, who got COVID. Let's get into our main topic, though. The main topic today is, hey, some modern horror games. I've been thinking about the future, how games are going to go. So I know on this show we talk a lot about the past. Hey, what have games done? What retro games are expensive? How did they get that way? But how do we map out where they're going to be? Is there a way to look at this? For Halloween games, I know, I can be all over the map. We can be talking about Commodore 64, Atari ST. We can be talking about Xbox One and PS5. We run the gamut from Atari to the ZX Spectrum. That's just how I do it with the Halloween stuff. I take off the guardrails. But I think it's time to maybe try to look forward and think, if I'm looking at modern stuff, on like the PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox, which games are going to be like the next Rule of Rose? Now, that's impossible to nail down. Rule of Rose is a special circumstance that had like, you know, some controversy, a PS2 survival horror. But survival horror and horror genres and spooky games are a thing unto themselves that are collectible. So your Resident Evils of the world are always going to have demand. There is this very tight genre like shmups and RPGs, which just remain a mainstay in collecting. Doesn't matter if the games are great, people collect them because that's their jam. That's just what they do. Some people are platformers, but really, like, survival horror games and horror is just something people really dig into and go deep on. So that's what I'm doing. I'm looking at some new stuff, trying to pick, you know, what I think could be collectible and the reasons why. And some of these reasons are going to be, you know, the same reason. So bear with me as we get through it. Anyways, I got like 5 to 8 games here and I'm just going to run through them real quick. Okay. So let's go for the first one. This is kind of a weird one and it's Pineview Drive. Like most of the games I'm going to talk about, Pineview Drive is available as a digital download on a lot of systems, be it Xbox One, PS4, or the Switch. This particular one is available in all of those places. But if you want the physical copy, you have to go with the PS4, where you can find it in PAL or in the US. In PAL, it's available individually, but also on a triple pack. You can get it for like $20, $30. However, if you want the US PS4 version, it's around $100. This game is not a new game. It was released on PC as well. Most of the stuff is, all the horror stuff you can pretty much find on Steam or PC. So if you want to go play it, you can go do that cheap. This is about collecting This is the Collector's Quest podcast. You should already know that. Anyway, to get into it. So this game, you are a guy who's revisiting a house or a hotel that you were in 20 years ago when your wife disappeared. And there's this lore around the house that no one can stay in it for 30 days. So you've accepted this challenge and you're going to try and find out what happened to your wife. And if you like that sort of thing, fine. But remember, even though you're playing this in 2022, it came out in like 2019 on these downloadable game on these download as a download on these systems. But this game is older than that. So don't expect crisp new graphics. Remember, if it's on the Switch and also on the PS5 or Xbox Series 1, like, you know what you're getting into. Okay, so that's going to be most of these games. These are like old games that are now moving from PC to consoles. So you're going to see kind of a break in that. Plus, they're like edge games where they weren't like, they weren't big enough to be like full releases by major companies. And that's part of the reason why I think some of them are going to be collectible, because there are these franchises that are kind of sitting on the fringes, and some of them are now getting sequels and stuff that we'll get into. And they're coming along, and people are, as they build their horror collections, their survival horror, all this stuff, the FMV, as they build these collections out, they're going to have to start hitting the fringes for the weird games that have low publishing runs. And Pineview Drive, if you look for a US copy, not many exist. They're not out there. I mean, you can find them on eBay, like two or three or four, but there's not that many. And they range from $100 to $200 when you find them. So if you're interested, it's got kind of a terribly generic cover of a house and a mysterious figure in a red robe. But anyways, that's our first one. Pineview Drive for the PS4. That's the only place you can find the physical copy as of yet. Another caveat I want to get into just real quick before we get into all these games, and this is the problem with modern gaming. I don't know how many times these are going to be re-released. These could very well be released again on another system and compilations as more comes out. Who knows? Could that destroy the value of these games, or will these original ones hold up because these are the only physical prints? As we go in time, will people be clamoring for this? I don't really think so, but just a warning out there as we're dealing with modern stuff. We don't often deal with modern stuff here, but as we're talking about it, and as things are getting more reprints than ever, especially on the Switch, we have to kind of talk about this stuff. Just throwing it out there, because I'm afraid that I'll say some of these games and someone will spend their money, and then they'll be like, "Johnny, you done steered me wrong! I can't believe that guy! He's an asshole!" And that's fine. But I just want everyone to be warned. Let's not say I didn't warn you, because I did. All right. Second game on our list. Ooh, is it a good one? Actually, it's a collection of games, and this is kind of a weird angle to take. But have you heard of Focused Entertainment? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't realize you've heard of them, but they did the Call of Cthulhu game that was on the Xbox One and on PS4. They did the Plague Tale games, which you may have seen. They just did Requiem, but before that, they did Innocence, so Requiem being the sequel. You're probably like, "Cool, Johnny, yeah, I have heard of those games, and guess what? I've already seen the discounts happen. I can go pick those up in GameStop. Why are we talking about them? Do you just think they're going to be collectible later?" Yes, but. Yeah, here's my yes, but. If you bought specifically from the Focused Entertainment store for Call of Cthulhu, Plague Tale, Innocence, or Requiem, you can get an exclusive cover that only comes from them. I've checked on eBay. I have not seen these covers there yet. And I don't hear anyone talking about them, and maybe that's because no one's talking about, you know, collectible modern games. I don't know if that's the case or not, but these covers, if they are exclusive to this store, and people start to get into these, if these ever take off and are things people want, the most desirable, weirdest, lowest print copies are going to be these ones. There's not like a print run listed on any of these ones, not for these specific three titles. I don't know if Call of Cthulhu got one for the Xbox, but I know the PS4 got an exclusive cover. At least that's what the website shows. I'm going to confirm on that one. I have the Plague Tale games. I can confirm the exclusive covers. You'll see later on, hopefully by the time I post this, I'll have Call of Cthulhu to let you know. That's $20, and like Innocence is $25, and then Requiem's like $40 on their website. Put them all together, you get 10% off your first order, you'll save some money, and down the line, you may have yourself a collectible. Now, let's get into the next zone of limited print games. Okay, I'm sorry. we just have to talk about it. It's going to be in modern gaming. When we start to talk about print runs of physical games, companies like limited run games, especially for like PS4 titles, when it's not like Switch and they just did an open pre-order. For Xbox, not Xbox, for PS4 stuff, they did like print runs of 2,000, 1,500 and stuff. So we got to talk about those games. And if a game is going to be expensive later, and if people are collecting sets, these games are going to be a problem. Or if people are filling out their collections of these types of games, you know, horror, FMV, then they're going to have to go. And there's not going to be that many copies around. 1,500 kind of seems like a lot, but when you think about the millions and hundreds of thousands of print runs that like some Nintendo games got, Mario 3s and stuff, 1,500 is a relatively small amount. So let's talk about a few of these. First one I want to bring up, and this one is actually not a limited run game, meaning it doesn't have the LRG number on it, but it is Song of Horror, and it's from Protocol Games. This game is interesting. It started as a failed Kickstarter. So, and then what they did to get the game is they released individual chapters on Steam starting in 2019. And then in late 2020, the release on PS4 and Xbox, physical copies, like I said, were sold through Limited Run. So it's a distributed game. That was until November of 2021. And then it was actually released in 2022. So this one is still relatively new, but here is the rub. It's not that this is just a limited distribution game or, you know, from a limited print company like Limited Run Games. It came with a slipcover if you bought it from Limited Run Games. Now, if you look on the Amazon release, because this is one of Limited Run's first, like, hey, we're also selling on Amazon games. If you look at their page, it says, slipcover comes with the game. You're like, cool, I'll get it. This was, you know, again, a PAL game. You can find these all on digital downloads too. Don't worry about that stuff. Things like Plague's Tale, you're even going to find on like Xbox Pass and stuff like this. These games are very accessible. This is all about the buying of a physical copy. Just reiterating that. So this one didn't get a slipcover if you bought it through Amazon. Only if you got it from the Limited Run site. I think the Amazon ones are supposed to have the slipcover. It says the manufacturer's answer is, yes, it will come with the slipcover. I bought three of them and had to return three of them because they didn't come with the slipcovers. So buyer beware, you can still get it on Amazon. It's like $31. But if you want that slipcover, you're probably going to have to go to eBay, and they're like $80 already. So the slipcover, as well as being something that's distributed in a smaller quantity, you're also going to, if you want that slipcover, that's going to be the desirable piece, and that's going to be the thing that costs money and will be collectible later on. So take a look for that. Song of Horror also has a sweet cover. Go check it out. Am I talking too fast? Am I going through this too quick? I'm worried because I don't have Tyler here or anybody else to bounce other questions off or to get me to remember the small details I should probably be sharing that I'm missing a lot of stuff. Excuse me if this goes quick. We're going to have like a 30-minute episode here. So hooray, it's like it's 2017 again. By the way, also on these Halloween episodes, it winds up being our anniversary. So I think we've been around 7 years now, I think. So hooray for us. We made it that long. Woo! Okay, back to games. We're going over some more limited run product, and these are going to be Switch games. And this game is on every horror list that you can think of, every video you've ever watched. It's actually two games. It's Outlast 1 and 2, specifically the Switch version, sold by Limited Run Games. It came in a variety of ways. So the first thing it came in is just the individual games. You could buy Outlast 1 for $30, Outlast 2 for $35. Cool. Or you could buy a slipcase version, which was $65, which just had a little slipcase and then the two games put in there. So hey, $65. It's not a savings. The only thing you're getting that's beyond just the games is that slipcase. And then there was the collector's edition, and it's called the Outlast Murkoff Briefcase Edition. So this is their collector's edition, and it came with a bunch of stuff. So it came with a soundtrack, a dossier, comic, the games, a hard case that was like, you know, too big. Now here's what's interesting about all of this. If you look at the pricing for these games, Outlast 1 and 2 in the little slipcase, you know, the one that was just $65, sells anywhere from like $150 to $300. And that's the same range the Murkoff Briefcase Edition is as well. So there's not really a premium on the briefcase. I don't know. I mean, it competes back and forth that one will sell for more than the other. and then the other, you know, they'll flip-flop. So it's not real consistent. I'm not sure which buyers are buying which, but it seems like just the clean, hey, easy to put this with the rest of my games version, that held a lot of value over a where do I put this briefcase. I'm sure people who love Outlast, and there are a lot of them, wanted the cool briefcase so they could go put that somewhere. Another interesting thing, if you're like, oh, there's Outlast 1 and 2, Part 1 also had the whistleblower on it. Outlast Whistleblower is also on that, so you're not missing out. And then there's another thing for Outlast for the PS4 and the Xbox One, and that's the Outlast Trinity, the ultimate horror bundle, which also includes Outlast 1, Outlast Whistleblower, and Outlast 2. The difference is, these were not limited run games. These were sold in stores. You can find them at GameStop. They're like $25 to $30 each. Usually the Xbox One version is a little cheaper, but not by much. So either of these ones are perfectly serviceable. You can go get them. Will they be expensive later? Not sure. The collectible one right now was clearly that Switch one, which came from limited run games. Also, as with all limited run games, they come with these cards that are included. And you may not care about cards, but people do, and they are expensive. If you don't care about the cards, get rid of them. But ones with the cards do sell for a little bit more. So anything limited run we'll talk about, and we will talk about more expensive with the card. And there's like different card types you can get, so you can sell the card individually. I'm not sure how this works. I'm not into the cards. I am a card guy, but I don't get into this. This is just another gimmick from them. But hey, anything that puts money in your guys' pocket, I'm good with. So I just want you to be aware of that. Sticking with the Switch and limited run games, and games that also came out on the PC that you can play just about anywhere, but if you want to pay a premium, here's the place to do it. Hey, it's Layers of Fear Legacy. Or if you want to go over to the PS4, also from limited run games, Layers of Fear Masterpiece. Why do these have two different names? I don't know. Maybe I missed a small detail and someone can tell me, but let's get into what these games are and why they're expensive. You know, maybe they weren't released at the same time. Anyways, a few more facts about this. So, like I was saying before, these were originally on the Xbox. You could download these on PlayStation from the PlayStation Store without a physical release, but it was just Layers of Fear. When they did it for the Switch, they added new stuff to the graphical interface, and they added some mechanics that were special for Switch. I don't know if that went over also in the Masterpiece Edition, but Legacy and Masterpiece also have the Inheritance DLC on it. You were thinking, oh, maybe the Masterpiece Edition has the DLC, since the covers are slightly different. See, the Inheritance DLC is about the son, right? The son of the painter. And then you see that boy on the cover of the Masterpiece Edition, and he's not there on the Switch one. So you're like, oh, the Switch one definitely didn't get the DLC, but it did. So that's not it. I don't know. Anyway, it is slightly different than the original Layers of Fear, because it has the DLC and some new content and some quality of life changes. Anyways, that's about playing. We're about collecting. So let's talk about this game. Layers of Fear for the PS4 was just a standard release. Blu-ray case, game. Cool. And that's fine. No problem there. It was $30. The Legacy Edition for the Switch was $40 and came with some bonus stuff. It came with a soundtrack that looked like a radio. It came with a poster that was like one of the paintings of some creepy looking flamingos. If you don't know, it's about a painter. $40 for this one. It came in like a bigger box. This was to fit the CD and the poster and stuff. It also comes with just a standard Switch case inside, which holds the game, which is great. Anyways, Layers of Fear. It's really well reviewed. Same with Outlast. People really like these games. Both of these are always going to show up on YouTube videos talking about horror games for the Switch or the PS4 or modern consoles or consoles of this generation, depending on how far in the future we're talking. So these are a good bet because people like them. They are well reviewed, like I said. People come back to them. They are also games which have sequels for them coming out. Layers of Fear, they've talked about making another one. Outlast already has Outlast 1 and 2, and there's talk of a third one. So these are becoming series, and these are the original of series. So if it's building that kind of cachet, you can expect that people are going to want to come back to the first physical releases that they can find. And if these are them, it should carry that value even further. But it's not like these are just cheap now. The PlayStation version's about $100. And sometimes you can find it for as low as like $70. I see people listing as high as $150. The Switch version is like 120 to 150, seeing it as high as 200 sometimes, depending on what the demand is. Limited Run made a lot of these. I don't know if the PS4 version was like only X amount of copies. I do know Layers of Fear for the Switch had like an open pre-order for a little bit of time. At least I think so. It was kind of early. I think it was a 2018 game that they did. And I remember buying it, but they, for the Switch games, they've always kind of had this open pre-order. I'm not sure if they had anywhere they were just like, nope, hard cut off this week only. So it's a good bet there's probably more Switch versions. Now, I haven't talked a lot about Xbox. You can't find this one on Xbox, but we did talk about Outlast, which you can find that Trinity Edition. I really think PS4 and PS5 and Switch are going to hold up better. Switch, because it's Nintendo, you get that Nintendo tax. People like Nintendo. You get the weird portable factor. People are going hard at collecting Switch. PS4 and PS5, I think people are collecting less at. But Xbox, even less than that. And when I think of horror and games that are horror games, I do associate the PlayStation. And that maybe that's just because of Resident Evil. That sticks in my mind. So when I'm trying to buy them, I'm thinking like, oh, which console do I want it on? And I'm going to want it probably on the PlayStation 4 or the Switch, because I think those are the consoles that collectors are going to come back to, especially for these genres, if that makes sense. We're also going to have an interesting conversation real quick about what to do when there's a PS4 version and a PS5, because a lot of these games, especially some of the ones I'm going to talk about soon, have both. And I'm not sure. You kind of have to hedge your bets a little bit. Do you think that because these games made in the 2020 to 2022, they were going up against the PS5 being released but not available. So they were, and these are old games, so they can also be easily ported to the PS4. Do you think they made more PS4 prints because they figured the install base was still bigger for the PS4 and less PS5 because people aren't going to be able to buy it? Or do you think that when widely released games, not like of 1500 or whatever, that like Limited Run would do? Or do you think that, oh, they were like, PS4 is dead, let's put everything on the PS5. So do a small print run on PS4, push the PS5. I don't know. I think some of them, you can kind of look when it says an upgrade available for the PS5. I like to buy that version if I'm going to play it, but maybe that indicates that there are more PS4 versions and less PS5. You can see that in games like Lego Star Wars. If you buy the PS4 version, they immediately give you the PS5 version for free. So there's going to be tons of both versions. So I don't know what to do there. But on these small releases, I don't have a good answer for you. I just want you to think about it and then make an informed decision for yourself. Oh, I forgot to give you some fun facts on Layers of Fear. One, there is a sequel, but there's not yet a physical version for that. But you can find the download version available. Also, this was based on a comic book or a pulp magazine called Weird Tales, and it's the 1924 April edition called A Square of Blank Canvas. Anyways, there's your fun fact for that. Now let's move on to our next game, and I'm going to go for a Weird Pal game. Maybe you've never heard of it. It is available as a digital download on most consoles. So let's talk about Scopefold Shrouded in Sanity. Those are different words, not insanity, but Insanity. It's a strange title. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Anyways, the only physical release was in the PAL territories. It was limited to 999 games. It was sold by Red Art Games. And here's what this game is about. So it's set in alternative history, 1897, the Angelic Empire of Britannia. Basically, you are the lord of this place. You are resurrected because a strange fog has enveloped your manor and everyone's gone crazy and you're supposed to go kill them or get rid of them, get them out of this place for these people who resurrected you. You sign a contract. It's basically like an 8-bit / 16-bit Dark Souls-like game is how they're billing it. It's pretty interesting. The cover has strong Castlevania vibes. Like, imagine Dracula or Alucard sitting on a throne in front of, like, a dark moon, candles. Yeah, it fits the bill. How horror-y is it? It's a different kind of game. It sold out pretty quick there. So the Red Art Games, if you look at their PAL stuff, they do these small runs, 999 to, like, 2,500, 2,600. The 999 versions usually sell out pretty quick, but this one sold out faster than even most of theirs and now commands a premium on eBay. So it goes for about $100 or like $80 plus $30 shipping, depending where in the world you are. So look for that if you're interested. Go watch a video of it. And if nothing else, go look at the cover because it's pretty sweet. So an interesting looking game. Also, because it's a Souls-like, people complain about it being hard. If you don't want to play something that's hard, then don't play this game. And maybe avoid anything that bills itself as Souls-like. I can't tell you how triggered I get when someone's like, it's hard about most things. Especially if you know in advance it's going to be hard. It's hard. It's so hard. Why did it have to be so hard? You were warned. It said it's a Souls game. They made their money by being hard. So don't be like, it's so hard for me. I don't know how to play video games. I just want FMV cutscenes all the time. And if that's what you like, that's fine. I'm in that camp. I don't want a hard game. I'll try it out. I'll play a hard game. But I'm not over here complaining that it's hard. And you're like, man, that game was hard, but cool. I wanted that because they told me it was hard. I am 100% not shocked or surprised by this because I was warned in advance. Okay, moving away from that, I want to get into FMV horror games that are out now, specifically from one company, Wales Interactive. These people are doing FMV, all kinds of stuff, but they have released a lot of horror ones. But hey, you want a dating sim? That's there. You want a crime thriller? That's there as well. They have a lot of games. Check out their library. They do more than just FMV, but they did a bunch of these ones specifically, and they've partnered with Limited Run. I don't know if they specifically partnered with them, but a lot of their games got releases through Limited Run. Also, small quantities for the PS4. These aren't Switch games. Though, again, we're in the category of games that you can definitely download or play on the PC, play on Steam, play on Xbox, PS5, through the store. You can do all of that, but again, the physical versions, if you want them, these are specifically PS4 games. I'm going to start with one called Nightbook. Yes, it's FMV, but it's well beyond the days of Night Trap. So we've moved into a new generation of FMV games. They're not always perfect, and they're not always great, but these ones look pretty interesting. And they were done with a budget, though this game feels like it maybe suffered some restrictions from COVID. Anyways, it's about an interactive occult thriller about an online interpreter who is tricked into reading an ancient book that summons a demon to her house. Man, that's bad luck. And it's like an ancient dead language. Anyways, some cool stuff. I don't really love the cover, but whatever, you can get past that. These people have done a lot of FMV games. This came out this year and was limited to 1,500 games. They've also done more FMV games, and I want to just touch on those. Kind of same restrictions, 1,500 games. I saw Black Clouds, The Infectious Madness of Dr. Decker, and Simulacra. Each of these are full FMV games that kind of come from different angles. This game, Nightbook, that we first started talking about, it's like $60. Most of these aren't too expensive right now. You can get them. But if the FMV genre, if people become collectors of this and go hard at it and want these horror stories, I could see these spiking later, especially since the physical copies are limited down to 1,500. They've done other FMV games, Don't Knock Twice, which is like a FMV and also VR game, but that was a wider release. So if people are into this whole genre, you can start to see how the price could pick up. I'm not saying it will, but if I'm trying to predict the future and I'm into horror and I'm into FMV, I would definitely be targeting these games first. So that's Nightbook, I Saw Black Clouds, The Infectious Madness of Dr. Decker, and Simulacra. The Infectious Madness of Dr. Decker is kind of an interesting one. You take the role of a psychiatrist who is taking over patients from another psychiatrist who was killed or disappeared, and it's Lovecraftian. It's got a great cover. That one does. Nightbook, bad cover. This one, good cover. Simulacra has like a weird take that you are investigating through a phone of a girl who's gone missing, trying to uncover what happened through the details in her phone in her life, and it deals with some occult stuff. I saw Black Clouds, it's more psychological, but these are all limited run games, FMV, get the cards, horror or supernatural in some way. If you like that kind of stuff, I would target it now while it's not too expensive. madness of the infectious madness of Dr. Decker is the only one that's getting a little expensive, and that one's about $90 now. Some of them are just like, you know, Dragon's Lair, where it's just A or B or C. You just make those choices. Some of them, like the infectious madness of Dr. Decker, you're trying to type out your answers to cultivate the FMV. So that one's kind of a weird one. Anyways, go check those out. And now I want to get to our very last game. And this one is kind of a left turn. Horror, I think, can be a lot of things for people, or Halloween or spooky. And, you know, I talk about games like Casper and Scooby-Doo and Maniac Mansion. Stuff that's not hardcore, all psychological thrillers, not all Resident Evils, not all Evil Within's. It doesn't all have to be that kind of gruesome horror. There can just be some funner, spookier stuff. And this one, I feel, fits into that, but is definitely adult-themed. And if you like Dachshund-Free, then you might like this. It's After Party. It came out for the Switch and also for the PS4 via, get this, limited run games. Yes, you can play it other places like everything else, but these two specific versions are from limited run and they are physical copies, and you should check them out. That is with a few caveats. Do you like a narrative heavy game? Let me tell you a little bit about this game so you know what you're getting into. You take dual roles, two characters who have just finished college. They're at their graduation party and they die and go to hell. The two friends have one night before they are processed into hell's minions. And in this night, they can go party with Satan. And Satan, every night, has this big rager, and if someone can outdrink him and outparty him, he will release them back to their lives. So they are on a quest to do this. And drinking is part of the mechanics, and what you drink affects how people interact with you. So this is your quest. Again, it's narrative-based. There's a few little skill games, but not too much. Check out a video of this game. It's pretty odd, but it's got a nice aesthetic. I like it a lot. Is it Halloween-y? Yeah, it is, but it's like a left turn from gore. If you want to experience something spooky with some black humor, but hey, not jump scares and people stabbing you in the face when you die, then maybe something like this is for you. Anyways, it's not too expensive right now. You can get it for like $40 or $50. It comes with a poster. And don't forget that collector's card if you're buying from eBay. It's a fun little game. I don't know if the PS4 was a limited release where, you know, you only get this batch and then the second batch. I know the Switch was an open pre-order for a few days. I don't know what happened here with this game as far as the PS4 version. Because a lot of times the PS4 versions just have like a batch number. But I couldn't find that information. So if you know, let me know and I'll pass that along. So I think that's going to do it for our modern games that might be collectible. Again, I tried to pick a range of, hey, I think these games are interesting, or they have something about them that I think could lead people to collect them. Yes, unfortunately, a lot of that meant limited run stuff because, hey, limited prints, less available becomes collectible, supply, demand, all that. Anyways, I'm going to move us on, by us, I mean me, to the second part of the show where I answer a collector's question and then maybe tell you one or two things I bought and then say bye. You know, I do that whole thing and the show ends. Yeah, I'm going to do that. All right, let's get there. Okay, here's our collector's question from Ask the Podcast. Daddy Mulk asks, what's your Garfield and Friends opening theme of choice? Are you team Friends Are There or team Ready to Party? And hey, Daddy Mulk, I hope you brought lots of spaghetti because I'm ready to party. Absolutely 100%. Yes, I know that's the second steampunk, but they changed it for a reason. I think that first one was fine, but it felt more sitcom-y. This one feels more, you know, cartoon. But did you know there's also a third one that they did in season 7 for this? And it was real bad. And they're just talking about how cool Garfield is for like 5 seconds. It's only, I think, in the 1994 episodes in season 7 and only a few of them. I don't know why they have this weird one there. Go find a video online. You can find a remaster where they go through all of them. So anyways, Ready to Party is where I'm at. I'm going to limit it to just that one question because I want Tyler or Stefan here to answer, you know, collector-focused questions. And I know that one was for me. So there you go, Daddy Mulk. Go watch some Garfield and Friends or at least some of the holiday specials. Garfield's Halloween special would be a good choice right now. Just saying. He's also got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. You could have a whole slew of Garfield ones. I watch them every year. Anyways, on to the next part of the show. Hey, Johnny, what are you playing and what are you buying? Hey, I'm playing The Quarry still. Go figure. What am I buying? I'm buying a bunch of the stuff we just talked about because I'm not a hypocrite. Plus, I looked into it and I was like, yeah, I do find this interesting. So I'm thinking about myself, what I'm going to buy. So I went out and bought some of these games. What have I currently bought? Like, what's 100% already purchased? Scoutfold, whatever, because I thought that was cool. I also bought Nightbook because I want to play an FMV game. And I got a few others in my cart there. I think I'm going to wind up with some of the other FMV games. And I'm definitely going to wind up with After Party. So, yeah, there you go. That's what I bought. I also bought, before all that, before I started researching for this, I got... Did I tell you guys about Elder Scrolls Travels Shadowkeep for the N-Gage? Yeah, I bought that. Why? Because I'm a dummy. And I'm like, that's a unique game. And it's only on one console. I better pick that up. And then, for the Nintendo PAL, I bought New Ghostbusters 2, which is, I guess, a very good game. People have given me very positive reviews. It is a different game than our Ghostbusters 2. We talked about it last episode a little bit. Go check out videos of that. It looks fun. And I think that's it. I think I did it. We came in at like 30-something minutes. Hooray for a short episode. Blast from the past. Felt kind of uncomfortable doing this by myself. Hope you guys don't mind. Hope you still learned something, took something away from this, and enjoyed. Have a happy Halloween, everybody. I can't wait to talk to you. Oh, here's the show portion of the show where I say, hey, if you like what you heard, then please rate us with 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you really like us and you want to hang out with us, you can join our Discord. You can do that by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/collectorsquest, where you can join for as little as $2 or as much as $6. But $4 is what, everybody? $4 is the sweet spot where you get bonus content, which we do. We try to do like once a month where we do Collector's Quest After Dark, where Tyler and I literally talk about whatever. It's an interesting ride, and it's just hanging out. So if you want to hang out with us in that way, that's your tier. $6 is just like, hey, we really like you, and I have more money to throw at you for some reason. You do get a free invite for a friend at the $2 tier, so basically you give them access to the Discord through your account. So that is the one bonus that comes with that. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you for being here for 7 years, some of you, and paying attention. And I know some of you were here before that list, like reading my blogs, which is ridiculous. I mean, they weren't terrible, but I mean, come on, you've been around that long listening to me, my dumb thoughts. I appreciate it so much. I know we don't get to say a lot. Thank you to all the Patreons who have supported us. We got to do some fun stuff at Portland because of it, and it was great to see you guys. And just, hey, everyone who, not even the people who just support us on Patreon, if you're listening and you're here now, thanks so much for that. It means a lot. I'm here because I love this. This is not me making money. This is not my next career. I have my career. I'm just out here doing this because I want to talk to other people who love games too and get weird and nerdy about it. And so many great people on our Discord get nerdier than me. So if you want to talk to people like me and who know more than me and have like all this niche information, then our Discord is the place for you. Just the best people in collecting are all there. So thanks so much again. That's it for the episode. Bye. And see, I got to do all that because if Tyler was here, he would definitely have cut all that. He would have been like, Johnny, ramble on too much chilling. But you're not here right now, Tyler, so you didn't get to edit it, and I get to do what I want. Yeah, showed him. Bye.